It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm, of course, Amber May, and I want to thank you for joining me today. And I just would like to ask a favor for you, from you. If you could email me at amber@ambermayshow.com and let me know where you're listening from. I'd like to know if you're a first-time listener or if you've listened, you're a veteran listener, and where you're listening from. Are you from Phoenix, Tucson? It'd be really interesting for me to be able to mark on a map where you listen to this program, and I would like to thank you for your participation in this. Also, I want to let you know I have a lot of discounts on my website, and I'm doing this to try and help people save money. I know I need to save money. I'm always looking for discounts, so I post them online when I find them. So check out my website, ambermayshow.com. Before you buy anything, please check out my website, see if I could save you some money there. So there's been a lot of talk lately about the second coming. People think he's coming soon. And yeah, he's coming soon. I mean, but he's been coming since he ascended into heaven after he rose from the dead. So yeah, he is coming. There's no doubt about that. But when? I mean, there's so much discussion. People look at the signs of the times and they're like, well, they talk about wars and rumors of wars and look what's going on now and our government and our world's in chaos. And that's true. It is. But I also look at World War II. And if I were to think any time was going to be the time that God would come back again, I would have thought it would have been during World War II when Hitler took over almost the entire known world. Are we at the end of days? Yeah, we're at the end of days. But what does the Bible say? In Revelation chapter 4, we get a glimpse of what it's like to worship God in heaven. And he says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard, heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Wow, can you imagine? He sits up there. There's a person on the throne. He had an appearance of jasper and carnelian and a rainbow that looks like emerald. The emerald's green was encircling the throne. So there's a green aura or rainbow around the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashing of lights, rumbling, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing, and these are the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold spirit. Also before the throne were that looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and covered with their eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things. By your will they were created and have their being. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break this seal and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scrolls and its seven seals. And he's talking about Jesus Christ here. Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain. Jesus Christ, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, and they were the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bows full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. With your blood you purchased men from God, from every tribe and language and people of nations. You made them to be a kingdom and a priest to serve our God. They will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voices of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and the sea and all the men that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb to be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. Now this is very interesting. Chapter 6, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, and a fiery one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I look, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the kingdom to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and his testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until a number of their fellow servants and brothers who were killed as they had been was completed. I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair, and the moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth, and the late figs dropped from the fig tree were shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain in the island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from his face, of him who sits on the throne, for the wrath of the Lamb, for the day of their wrath has come. Who can stand?" After this, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or the sea or any tree. Then I saw another angel coming from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, "Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on their forehead or the servants of our God." Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. and they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise the glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." He said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in this temple. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hungry. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to a spring of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye." Now, he said something about tribulation, which I think is interesting. And if you read in the beginning of Revelation, I truly believe we've been in tribulation since Christ left the earth. Because this is what he says. In the Amplified Bible, it reads this, 1 and 9. "I, John, your brother and companion, share and participator with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patience endurance, which are in Christ Jesus." To me, since he's already talking about this, and this is, he was a disciple of Christ, and he says, "with you in tribulation, that means right now tribulation was going on, and tribulation was going on during his time. So I think the tribulation's going on right now. It's just my opinion, but it's based on this scripture, and that's in the Amplified Version. But what can we learn about what we read? Because, like I said, it's a little confusing because he's trying to interpret what he saw based on his human understanding. So let's go back and give an idea of what he was talking about. In chapter 4 and 5, record glimpses into Christ's glory, where we see into the throne room of heaven. God is on the throne and orchestrating all the events that John will record. The world is not spinning out of control. The God of Creator will carry out his plans as Christ initiates the final battle with the forces of evil. John shows us in heaven before showing us earth so that we will not be frightened by the future events. But we already know that Christ initiated the battle and won the battle when he died on the cross. The voice John had first heard that sounded like trumpet blast was that of the voice of Christ. Four times in the book of Revelation, John says he was in the Spirit. This expression means the Holy Spirit was giving him a vision, showing him situations and events he could not have seen with mere human eyesight. All true prophecy comes from God through the Holy Spirit. Who are these 24 elders? Because there were 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament and 12 apostles in the New Testament, the 24 elders in this vision probably represented all the redeemed of God for all time, both before and after Christ's death and resurrection. They symbolized all those, both Jew and Gentile, who were now part of God's family. The 24 elders show us that all the redeemed of the Lord are worshiping him. In Revelation, lightning and thunder are connected with a significant event in heaven. They remind us of the lightning and thunder at Mount Sinai when God gave the people his laws. The Old Testament often uses imagery to reflect God's power and majesty. The seven spirits of God is another name for the Holy Spirit. Also see that in Zechariah 4, 2 and 6, where there were seven lamps are equated to the one spirit. Glass was very rare in the New Testament, and crystal clear glass was virtually impossible to find. And the sea of glass highlights both the magnificence and holiness of God. Just as the Holy Spirit is seen symbolically in the seven lighted lamps, so that the four living creatures represent the attributes of God. These creatures were not really animals like the cherubim, the highest order of the angels. They guard God's throne, led others in worship, and proclaimed God's holiness. God's attributes symbolized in the animals-like appearance of these four creatures are majesty and power, the lion, faithfulness, the ox, intelligence, the man, and sovereignty, the eagle. The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel saw four similar creatures in one of his visions. The points of this chapter is summed up in the verse, "All creatures in heaven and earth will praise and honor God because he is the creator and sustainer of everything." In John's day, books were written on scrolls up to 30 feet long, rolled up and sealed with clay or wax. The scroll that John sees contains the full account of what God has in store for the world. The seven seals indicate the importance of its contents. The seven seals are located throughout this scroll, so another phase of God's plan for the end of the world. Only Christ is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll. Chapter 5 continues the glimpse of into heaven, which began in chapter 4. The lion, Jesus, proves himself worthy to break the seals and open the scroll by living a perfect life of obedience to God, dying on the cross for the sins of the world and rising from the dead to show the power and authority over evil and death. Only Christ conquered sin, death, hell, and Satan himself, so only he can be entrusted with the world's future. The root of David refers to Jesus beginning from David's family line, thus fulfilling the promise of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is pictured as both the lion, symbolizing authority and power, and the lamb, symbolizing his submission to God's will. One of the elders called John to look at the lion, but when John looks, he sees a lamb. Christ the Lamb was perfect, sacrificed for sins for all mankind. Therefore, he can save us from the terrible events revealed by the scrolls. Christ the Lamb won the greatest battle of all. He defended all the forces of evil by dying on the cross. The role of Christ the Lion will be led in the battle where Satan is finally defeated. Christ the Lion is victorious because of what Christ the Lamb has already done. We will participate in his victory, not because of his effort of goodness, but because he has promised eternal life to all who believe him. See, John sees the lamb looking as if he had been slain. The wounds inflicted on Jesus' body during his trial and crucifixion could be seen. Jesus called the Lamb of God by John the Baptist. In the Old Testament, lambs were sacrificed to atone for sin. The Lamb of God died as a final sacrifice for all sins. The horn symbolized strength and power. Although Christ is a sacrificial lamb, he is no way weak. He was killed, but he now lives in God's strength and power. The eyes are equated with the seven lamps and the one spirit. People from every nation are praising God because of his throne. God's message of salvation and eternal life is not limited to a specific culture, race, or country. Anyone who comes to God in repentance and faith is accepted by him and will be part of his kingdom. Don't allow prejudice or bias to keep you from sharing Christ with others. Christ welcomes all people to his kingdom. The song of God's people praises Christ's work. He was slain, purchased with his blood, gathered them to his kingdom, made them priests, and appointed them to reign on the earth. Jesus has already died and paid the price for sin. He is now gathering us into his kingdom and making us priests. In the future, we will reign with him. Worship God and praise him for what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do all who trust in him. When we realize the glorious future that awaits us, we will find the strength to face our present difficulties. The believer's songs praises Christ for bringing them into the kingdom and making them kings and priests. Now we are sometimes despised and mocked for our faith. In the future, we will reign over all the earth. Christ's death made all believers priests of God, the channels of blessing between God and mankind. Angels are spiritual beings created by God who help carry out his works on earth. They bring messages, protects God's people, offer encouragement, gives guidance, brings punishment, patrols the earth, and fight the forces of evil. They are both good and evil angels, but because evil angels are alienated with Satan, they have considerably less power and authority than good angels. Eventually, a main role of the good angel will be to offer continuous praise to God. The scene in chapter 5 shows us that only the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is worthy to open the scrolls. Jesus, not Satan, holds the future. Jesus Christ is in control. He alone is worthy to set into motion the events of the last days of history. This is the first of three seven-part judgments, the triumph, the trumpets, and the bowls, and the other two. As each seal is open, Christ, the Lamb, sets in motion events that will bring the end of human history. This scroll is not completely open until the seventh seal is broken. The contents of the scroll reveals mankind's depravity and portrayal, God's authority over the events of human history. Four horses appear as the first four seals are opened. The horses represent God's judgment of people's sins and rebellion. God is directing human history, even using his enemies, to accomplish his purpose. The four horses are a foretaste of the final judgment yet to come. Some view this chapter as a parallel to the Olivet disclosure in Matthew chapter 4. We talked about that earlier. The imagery of four horses is also found in Zechariah. Each of the four horses is a different color. Some assume that the white horse represents victory and that its rider must be Christ, because Christ later rides to victory on a white horse. But because the other three horses relate to judgment and destruction, the rider on the white horse would most likely not be Christ. The four are part of the unfolding judgment of God, and it would be premature for Christ to ride forth as the conqueror. The other horses represent different kinds of judgment: red for warfare and bloodshed, black for famine, pale for death. The high price of wheat and barley illustrates famine conditions, but the worst is yet to come. It is not clear whether Hades was on a separate horse than death or merely rode along with death, but the writers describe the verses 2 and 8 are commonly referred to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The four riders are given power over one-fourth of the earth, indicating that God is still limiting his judgment. It is not yet complete. With these judgments, there is still time for unbelievers to turn to Christ and away from their sins. In this case, the limited punishment not only demonstrates God's wrath on sin, but also his merciful love in giving people yet another opportunity to turn to him before he brings his final judgment. The altar represents the altar of sacrifice in the temple, where the animals were sacrificed to atone for sin. So it's a lot. So there's so much we can learn from knowing what hell's like and learning what heaven's like and knowing what God's plans are. Yeah, we're in the last days, but doesn't mean Christ is coming back tomorrow, because we don't know exactly when he's coming back. Can we imagine the season? Sure. But I'm sure they thought back in World War II as well. What's the most important thing? Getting the gospel out to the lost. Because, yeah, we might be in the four horsemen stage where God's wrath is coming down, but he's still giving people an opportunity to repent. Let's not wait till the last seals get open, because once the last seal is open, there's no going back. I'm Amber May, and I want to thank you for listening to the program today. If you want to contact me at amber@ambermayshow.com or P.O. Box 86474, Phoenix, Arizona 85080. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, think about number two, because eventually number two will look out for you.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged skies, and up a cloudy draw. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yo, we'll be right back. faces gaunt, their eyes are blurred, their shirts all soaked with sweat. He's riding hard to catch that herd, but he ain't caught them yet. 'Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. All the horses snorting fire as they ride on, hear their cry. As the rider sloped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell riding on our range, then cowboy, change your ways. If they are with us, you will ride, trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-i-yo.
If you're looking to create a website, then look no further. I have partnered up with GoDaddy.com to get you a discount on hosting domain names, as well as other products or services. GoDaddy is the world's largest domain name registrar, and GoDaddy delivers the highest quality customer service by listening to their customers. Receive 20% off your hosting when you use promo code AMS20H. You can also receive .com domain names for $7.49 when you use the promo code AMS3. To find more discounts for GoDaddy.com, please visit my website, AmberMayShow.com. Remember, for 20% off your hosting, use promo code AMS20H or AMS3 to receive .com domain names for only $7.49.